boys. No!
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Ballin' Out
Super!
Oh, boy.
Good one.
My name is Jeremy Hammond. Joining me, as always, are my co-hosts, Katie Rose Leon.
Hello!
And Alex Patak.
I'm actor Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
And joining us this week is a very special guest. We're very excited to have him. He's a comedian, improviser, producer. It's Gabe Smith.
Whoa. Hi. How are you guys doing? Hi. I just walked in.
Gabe, we're very excited to have you. Specifically, I'm very excited to have you because I know we've talked about this before, but the people at home don't know that the idea for this podcast actually was formulated in the comments section of a post that you made on Facebook.
Yeah.
I do not remember what the post was.
Oh, I do. I mean, I think I just said, like, oh, wait, I don't remember. Never mind.
Gabe, you're like a crock pot of ideas in the community, and we wanted to have you on so we could set this episode to yum. So thanks for doing it.
Is this a reoccurring thing?
We always talk about Gabe at the end of the podcast.
I was going to say we always describe our guest as a crockpot of ideas.
What poor person cooking appliance do you most identify with?
Ooh, good question. I'm going to go with a toaster oven.
Ooh.
Because I went to great lengths to bring one back from Long Island that my mother had in our house all through the time that we were growing up. And I even made her save it in her garage for 5 years after she replaced it. So toaster oven. Katie, what's yours?
I'm a rice cooker.
Ooh.
That has gotten burnt a little in the inside, so it kind of smells like broccoli no matter what you do.
Nice. Alex.
I was also going to say rice cooker, so now I'm embarrassed.
Yeah, but what are the details? That's what this game's about.
Rice cookers are the only appliances that power up the food because it gets bigger. They get more boisterous and strong as they go.
What is
Are
this
you gonna stick with crock pot?
If it's not crock, I'd go ice maker. I like it.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh. Talk about a real freeze boy.
No.
I'm sorry I called you a crock pot. That was fucked up.
Okay, we're getting in a weird territory.
It's like we're naming our own Frieza force.
Rice cooker.
Okay, you're Frieza. Who is your right hand man, Katie?
Otter Pop.
Otter Pop.
That's really good.
Otter Pop.
Oh, I got one. Mine is a robot named Preservo.
Gabe.
Freezer burn.
Whoa,
I didn't commit to the voice.
Oh,
what? This would never have happened without me.
And mine is mine's a giant muscular carrot named Captain Crisper.
Ooh. Damn. Okay. Fuck. Man.
He sounds strong.
What is the show about?
Right now, it's about improv. Gabe. Before we get too far down another one of these rabbit holes, which I'm sensing...
Frieza holes.
Oh,
my God.
I was going to say, I'm sensing Alex particularly trying to take us down. Let's get back on track here. We like to talk to our guests a little bit about anime and Dragon Ball and what your experience of the franchise is. Gabe, were you ever a fan of Dragon Ball?
I was in third to fifth grade. That was a big Toonami time, and I'd watch. Yeah, I was really into, especially the Frieza arc, the Dragon Ball Z Frieza arc.
Why are you doing this, Alex?
I thought it'd be funny.
Are you acting up because you're moving to Park Slope?
You're moving
don't
to Park
to talk
Slope.
About that.
Oh, la di da! Fucking big man on campus here. Oh.
Ooh.
You know damn well this is about the Frieza boys, and we are just lashing out.
How does your communist podcast feel about you moving to Park Slope?
change DSA branches. It's all going to shit.
Have you told Anders yet?
I have not told him. He probably wouldn't register much. He's a very old-fashioned type. He doesn't judge.
We're all friends here talking about anime. This is a safe space.
Anyway. We're talking about Dragon Ball. You're in third to fifth grade watching the Frieza arc.
Yeah, and like I would, not to bring it down, but well, my folks were divorced, so, and my mom had cable and my dad didn't, so I would catch, and my dad, like, I wasn't able to watch Cartoon Network when I was at my dad's house, and when I was, but I could at my mom's house, so I caught half of every popular anime.
did you feel at all, like, Cell, in that your mom was Android 18, your dad was Android 17, you had to suck them up into your tail and get it back together?
Man, I need that in writing. I
thought for sure that was going to a bitter custody battle that you brought to an end by saying, Mom has cable.
What other halves of animes did you enjoy?
Well, there was...
Describe the hair colors.
Yeah, well, hairstyles.
There's before on, I think like before ABC Family was like ABC Family. It was, I can't remember what it was before.
USA.
WWWWB. Is that a different network?
WB was.
Dragon Ball was also on WB, but it was at like 5 in the morning.
Yeah,
you gotta really want it.
I would sometimes wake, I would like set my alarm to like wake up to watch like Adult Swim. I don't know if anyone did that, but like, so I watched like the Big Ten, Big Ben.
Big O.
Yes.
Showtime. Yes.
I loved
the rendition of the theme song of Big O.
I don't remember the theme song. I just loved that one of my friends was like, it's just anime Batman. I'm like, I know.
Yeah, obvi. It's great.
I'm like, what about this sweater with a Scottish Terrier on it doesn't make you think I'm into that?
Oh, and Gundam. I was a big Gundam fan.
Oh, you mean Wing?
Wing!
I don't...
Spread those wings!
I visited a few after Wing, but there's really no comparison.
No comparison,
like,
yeah.
It's just... Oh, it's so good.
Was it X was the one that had the, like, emotional system?
They all have an emotional system.
They were all sexy... Sad teenagers.
But I mean that the X had the one. I know that that Wing had the Zero system that was like kind of emotionally driven and like
it drove everyone insane.
Yeah, it'd make you crazy.
Yeah.
I think Gundam X is the one where they were like submerged in like pink like gel.
Oh.
And like their emotions piloted the Gundam. Like it wasn't like a mental thing. It was like you have to be angry to fight.
You know what it is Evangelion came out and they were like, yeah, we are also Evangelion actually.
That's 100%.
This whole time we've we love that.
I think correct me if I'm wrong, but there was a Gundam series that was like, there was like several prominent nations all had a Gundam.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, we've
G-Gundam,
talked
yeah.
at length about the racist Gundams.
Yeah, racist Gundams. Yeah. I laugh every time I see the fucking Kenyan one in the zebra toga with the spear.
I don't remember what the Chinese Gundam was, but
there was one that was just a horse, right?
Yeah,
yeah. Well, that was a separate Gundam that Master Asia rode on. I guess a horse was in the Gundam?
Yeah,
like, well, and then there was like the windmill one. The Dutch Gundam was just a big windmill with arms.
We believe in conservation of energy. Yeah.
I don't know if like the windmill, like the propeller aspect was meant to be a like a weapon or what. I don't think a lot
it's
of these were like
crazy how many times this has come up on the show.
It's very memorable. Because the other thing is that if you ever watched the show, like most of these Gundams didn't even make appearances.
No.
Like it's the first one I feel like where they just went like buck wild with like this is just about toys.
Open up your wallets.
The Kenyan one you see for like a half a second in one episode, the kid is like running up the stairs to see. He's like, look, a real Gundam. And then we never see it again.
Well, you know, because they were like, yeah, and it's the Kenyan Gundam. What does that have? Yeah, it's like a big spear. It's got a big, it's like a tribal, it's very tribal.
They hunt for giant robot gazelles.
It's about finding the most pure blood to pilot a gun. It's really healthy stuff.
So, like, what else? What else are we watching?
There was the pretty standard, like, yeah, like, Toonami stuff. And then in sixth grade, I started hanging out with this kid named Curran, and he was,
uh-oh,
like, and he was, like, kind of, I don't know, I don't know if anyone else had, like, an anime guru or anything. Like, he...
Don't look at me.
Well, we went to... Katie and I went to art camp together. Uh-huh. That's where we met.
Oh,
and,
really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, a million years ago.
Okay.
This pale skin doesn't tell you that our version of summer camp involved feelings and painting.
What I was going to say is that, like, when you go to an art camp on Long Island, you know, like, perhaps... 30 to 40 anime gurus.
Did your anime guru have a particular fashion sense? Was he a matching sweatsuit-like guru, or was he like a silk shirt with a katana on the back?
He was so... It was interesting, because he was like very... He was like a very popular guy. Like, he did, like, people really liked him. And and like, so he just dressed kind of normal. And
this does not feel like a true story.
Guys, people listening can't see, but no one believes me.
Like, it sounds very made up.
This is a real, like, he was like, no, I swear to God. And he would order One Piece DVDs, mm-hmm, off eBay that were like bootlegs. And they,
oh, fuck yeah, I did that.
It was so weird, because like the DVDs would cost like $1, but shipping would be like $30.
Yeah,
they were coming
from China.
From, like, yeah, because they were coming from like across the Pacific. So yeah, I was really into One Piece for a while. Like I watched a lot of that and read a lot of the manga.
I don't know if any of us were into
Carlos Delgado, also a big One Piece.
Yeah, he's got a One Piece tattoo.
Oh, really?
He sure does.
But none of us were into One Piece, right?
No. Too hard on that Naruto train at the time.
Well, they started like concurrently, didn't they? They were like pretty much the same.
They were like competing properties.
It was pretty fucked up.
I was too busy being into all that like kind of like gay girl shit. Well, because, like, it's just, like, a lot of girl cartoons were very, like, vaguely queer. And, that was all the stuff I was just, like, nosediving into that.
And I think I was just into, like, all the spooky girl stuff.
Yeah. Which
like
also
experiments
I
lame.
Clearly was into.
Which I somehow bring up in every episode but never go further into. Oh,
man. Jeremy wishes he was inside the computer.
Yeah, what's that
I really
one?
Do.
That's
on
why
that
you're posing
I also
that robot.
Wish I was a goth girl.
What's that one on Netflix they have that is like the premier spooky girl anime, though?
The one on Netflix?
Mushishi. Have you seen Mushishi?
Oh, that one's really good.
It's great,
she
but
says
it's very
sincerely.
Spooky.
It is very spooky. It's actually good, though. You should watch
it. Yeah.
I'd like
it. It doesn't have a
hot
linear
pick.
Story, so you,
it's on
you
Netflix?
Just get like, you get high and think about spooky stuff, man.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
I'll give you a more better description of it when we're not on a time crunch to get you to a therapist.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I have to go to my therapist.
Oh my
God damn, I want to talk about Tenchi Muyo one of these weeks.
So what do you say we get into this episode?
If we have to, let's do it.
Katie?
The title of this episode is Earth, Gohan, Both on the Ropes. Hurry and get here, Goku. 2 explanation points.
That's definitely
really
the most punctuation in a title so far.
I love that they use exclamation points so cavalier that they only when they want to use like a real one, they have to put 2.
Yeah.
They've come to mean nothing.
They're more like commas at this point.
That's like how my phone works by this point.
Speaking about the misuse of punctuation, Dragon Ball is good at 2 things: overusing exclamation points and making death meaningless.
Yeah.
We open up and Piccolo is dead, and people are kind of upset, but like, you know.
they've all moved on quite quickly.
We were talking about this. The inside of Piccolo is like an orange. There are just layers.
Yeah.
And
well, so we
rinds.
see the hole in his chest, and there's nothing in there. It's like you know what it reminded me of is. The cantina scene in Star Wars when Kenobi cuts off that dude's arm, and he's like, "You better watch yourself. We're wanted men." And then he cuts his arm off, and it's just hollow. Yeah. He has a hollow plastic arm full of blood.
But yeah, so you know, Piccolo's body is a wonderland, and we get closer to figuring out how it works every episode. Gohan's there, and he's feeling.
Yeah, everyone's sad. Like everyone's like, "Oh, he's dead. He's dead." Bulma.
Wait, Katie, can you explain sad to us again?
Oh, you know, sad. Frieza talks a bunch. Bulma is still holding ice cream while she cries.
Yeah. For the, fourth episode in a row, she's holding that ice
she's
cream.
Been
it's a big ice cream, too.
Yeah, and it's not melted at all.
No, yeah.
As she cries, she's like, "Where is Goku and Vegeta?" And they are still doing fisties and punchies. And
the void!
The void.
I'm going to put a bunch of reverb
on that. Yeah, put effects on that, please. But, okay, so, like, two episodes ago, they were in Beerus Whis Wonderland.
Yeah.
And,
their sexual playground, if you will.
You know what? I missed when they got sent in. Why were they sent into the void?
Because they woke up Beerus.
And he was, like, annoyed they were still there.
You know what? Put him in the void.
Put him in the void box.
What's in the void?
But so they're in the void and what is it?
Beerus is eating pizza.
Beerus
That's
is
very
pizza,
important.
And he's like, "Where's all the rest of the pizza?" And Whis is like, "You know how it works. I need the magic staff to give that to you."
And he's like, "The staff that's in the void." And he's like, "You told me to send to the void." We're like, this is a lot of exposition for something we've seen very little of.
The best is that they could have done the fucking fish out of water moment there, and they could have explained to us, the viewer, how the staff works, why it needs to be there for it. But then Whis just says, "Do I have to explain how this works to you again?" And he's like, "No, you don't."
No, he literally says, "You know how this works."
What's important, more important, is their dynamic as an old sassy couple that's been together entirely too long and has just turned toxic in front of guests.
Yeah. Whis summons the staff back, which brings Vegeta and Goku back too, who are fisties and punchies, and a bunch of empty pizza boxes also fall out, which explains where all the pizza went. We know how Beerus feels about his snacks. So
the empty boxes fall out, and then Goku does the "Oh yeah, thanks a lot. We were eating all that pizza. We figured out if you just bunk it, the pizza falls."
"Hey, I broke all your shit again. I'm not sorry."
"Hey, you know all that stuff that you brought back specifically for a person that you had in mind? I ate all of it."
Yeah, so they run around, and some dust kicks up, and Whis is like, "You know, sometimes I feel like the only adult in the universe." And we're like, "Don't you know it, Whis?"
"Yeah, sometimes I feel like the only adult watching this show."
I didn't like how they reached their new power level in the void, where they just talked it out and were like, "Hey, if you don't shoot out your energy, you're actually fine in the void." And then Vegeta was like, "Oh, yeah." And then they just did it. They talked through their transformation. It was bullshit. Was not exciting at all. They didn't have to, like, overcome anything.
Yeah.
So they're much more powerful now for no reason. That's all you need to know.
We go back to Bulma with her ice cream because she gets through to Whis being like, "I got this ice cream." And he's like, "Oh, that looks good."
"Looks good."
And then Beerus is like, "That's that great. Also looks good. I'd like to eat that."
There's
I'm doing no voices today.
There was something super sexual
about it.
I don't remember what it was.
Is there enough to share?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
There's a lot about sharing in it. This threesome narrative continues to pay off.
Yeah.
But then, a really important... Oh, yes, Gabe, so...
"They are rather rewarded."
Well, you should know that we, very early on when meeting Beerus and Whis, determined that their whole series arc is that they're looking for a third.
Wait, a third...
A third,
like
to
a partner, like a polyamorous partner, or
like a poly,
just like
partner.
For a night of fun.
You know, Polly Pocket.
Wait,
like that
would be the best name for like a House of Yes sex bar.
Yeah.
Yo,
or Polly like Pocket.
If you're in
Welcome
kind of
to Polly Pocket. Dolls, tiny furniture, little plastic shoes. It's all you. It's at Polly Pocket. That's like what all their anyway, different podcasts. Like,
this is where it's all leading.
like a kinky member of a wide and open relationship who is also a dwarf is the Polly Pocket. That's like what she calls herself or whatever. It's like her funny joke, but, you know, she's really down to fuck.
Anyway, Sorbet has some sick burns this episode, starting with this one where he looks at Bulma and he's just like, who is she talking to?
Oh, yeah. Who does she think she's talking to?
He's gaslighting Bulma.
Yeah.
Dude, nice pop, idiot.
Can we acknowledge for a second that Sorbet exists in a universe where he used magic to bring his lord back? And somebody holding ice cream talking to the sky, he's like, oh no, bitch, it's crazy.
Well, Frieza's like, she's got him. Like, he's like, I know what's up.
And then Frieza is randomly like the least and most educated man in the universe.
Yeah. he juggles between being like super smart about this sort of thing and then just being like, oh, monkeys travel in packs.
Dragon Balls, what are those, something for your car?
I'm a Christian and a scientist.
I love
you're walking on a beach and you see a watch in the sand.
I disbelieve that you have to separate faith from knowledge. Can't
look at the banana. It fits so perfectly in your hand.
Oh, yeah. So she finally gets a hold of them and she's like, Goku, Vegeta, you need to come save the world. And Goku's like, Frieza? Piccolo's dead? Well, that's meaningless.
Everybody in this universe, their name is just like Vegeta, Vegeta. Frieza. No, his name is Cold. His name has to be Frieza Cold.
Frieza Cold.
Because his dad is King Cold.
Oh, dude, there's definitely a LinkedIn profile for Frieza somewhere.
Expert at Empire Management. Would you like to endorse Frieza Empire Management?
Oh, we know that Sorbet was part of the support staff.
That's right.
Anyway, they're like, hey, we gotta go back to Earth to save it. And they're like, it takes like a half an hour to load this shit up. And so Beerus is like, why don't you just do that instant transmission thing you always do? And Goku's like, I can't.
This is the one time I can't.
Yeah. But why? We have to fill 5 more minutes of this episode.
Yeah, he's like, I can't lock on. Back on Earth, Purple One Punch Man. He's like, I'll kill everybody. And Frieza's like, cool.
Is that the guy with yellow eyes? Sorry. Oh, wait.
No.
No. Oh, okay. That's Jocko.
That's Jocko, and we still don't know what he's for.
Yeah.
He's like a space cop,
he
right?
has the same name as Michael Jackson.
His name's
coincidence?
Michael Jackson. his name is,
well, they call him Jacko. That's what they called Michael Jackson.
Yeah, remember the New York Post. That was like their name for him. Jacko.
Jacko, because he's always Jackin' O. I bet.
Oh, my God.
It's the New York Post. It's possible.
Jackin' O.
Happy death anniversary, Michael Jackson.
Maybe.
No,
we're topical.
Wait, that reminded me. I look at my time hop every day on Facebook. I don't know about you guys, but I set my.
You hear that, time hop? Hey,
love you, baby. my take on Michael Jackson was, I think, holy tits, Michael Jackson died.
Powerful stuff.
Thank you.
I saw one on my time hop from, I think, like 8 years ago, and it was my hot take on the new iPhone.
Yeah.
Which at the time was just the only iPhone. It was the first one. It was maybe it was more than 8 years ago then. It was some years ago when the first iPhone came out, and somebody had asked me, should I get an iPhone? And I said, no, portable internet is overrated.
Because you were punk as fuck.
I said, what do? Just check your email anyway.
I was on Time Hop, and this thing came up. It was from a really long time ago. It was like, must be my first post. And it was like, damn, RIP Frieza.
Really?
You had so much going on. It inspired us all to be weird.
R.I.P. Frieza, you're a really big part of our scene. You're really, like, integral. You know, you always, like, lightened up a room. Anyway, come to my show at the Village Lantern this weekend.
Fuck.
Woo! Anyway. Go on, says I forgot my gi.
Yeah. I even lost my gi.
I was so into finance, I forgot my dumb robes.
Hey, Katie, what do they cook Indian food with?
What?
Gi.
God.
It's what they call clarified butter, you fools.
Oh. I'm sorry, I meant to laugh.
Anyway.
Sorbet.
Like
sorbet over here.
Sorbet's like...
I love you, Frieza.
Kisses kiss him me, softly please. On the forehead.
Give me a little kiss. Just one. Oh, yeah, kiss my butt. Kiss it. Okay.
Gabe's getting into
when,
it.
When will Frieza kiss Sorbet's butt? That's, yeah.
That's all I want to know.
That's all I want to know.
What's up, Weeb? Send us your Sorbet butt art.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for that Piccolo Cloaca. I want a Sorbet butt. And, I don't know. What else you got?
Oh, a tuxedo mask with the strap on.
Yeah, give me that.
Oh, I want
that. All right. Anyway, Sorbet's like, stop complaining. And Krillin basically gives Gohan a pep talk where it's like, it's cool you became weak as fuck because you're going to be a good dad.
Yeah. Which is the most accurate thing anybody's ever said on this show.
Yeah.
But for some reason, we're all trained just like Chi-Chi is to be like, actually, it's okay.
Guys, there's still, like, a lot of this episode.
we'll speed up through it, but Gohan decides to power up to fight Frieza, so we think.
Yeah.
And so he starts yelling at no one, and everyone, for the first time in the history of Dragon Ball, is against powering up, which has never happened before. They're like, you're gonna kill yourself! And he's just like,
I'm powering up anyway.
They're like, you didn't do your stretches.
Oh, Gohan has a hernia. Oh, God.
You're not going to race a dead man's pass, are you?
And so there's like a solid 2 minutes of them being like, nice. And him being like, ha! And then being like, oh, nice.
And then he powers up too far. And he like, it looks like he fucking just like breaks his spinal, like the whatever connects your brain to your spine. And he just like bends inward and his eyes go blank and he just can't move.
Don't worry, because you know what that means. Once your heart's broken, that means daddy's here.
Yeah.
Frieza shoots a beam and the Daddy. Bad dad parade comes back in town.
Goku gets locked onto his
dad parade.
Dads Daddy. Are here.
Oh my God.
He real knocks. Dad hours.
So Goku knocks Frieza's beam out of the way, and he's like, what's up? And Frieza laughs weirdly, and then they zoom in on their faces for 10 minutes.
Yeah. And then Frieza does his little spiel where he's like, I learned from last time. Now I'll start in my final form and go backwards back to this one.
Before that, though.
Frieza does a deviant art poem for everyone.
Yeah.
Important side note, the only important thing, Jocko does the whole thing. Oh, I'm sorry, Gabe, do you?
Well, there was that, his little, like, I love that, where he was like, I was hanging out with all these little kitty cats. Yeah, it was awesome. Like, that was fun. That was really
that was fun,
yeah,
but this is the third time we've seen that.
Wait, really?
Yeah. Really run out of gas.
Oh, okay.
The bits run dry.
Yeah, we've seen that is...
They've brought that up in previous episodes?
Yeah, that's Frieza's hell.
Yeah, we saw him there to start.
That
was where we first saw him again. God. Then he, another time, has been like, they tortured me in that hell. They made me look at bunnies and naked women. And now again they brought it back.
He just does not care for it. Bulma says, so what took you so long? And Jocko's like, your husband looks mean. And she's like, fuck yeah, he does.
This brings us to my favorite part of the episode, which is Goku telling the kids to go away and then be like, I don't want it. And him be like, do it. And be like, why? And be like, go!
And then Trunks is like, we don't wanna. And then Vegeta glares at him and he's like, oh, I remember what that means.
Yeah.
It means getting punched in the face. Yeah. So they run away due to child abuse. To be fair, they were being sent away to watch over Piccolo's dead body.
Yeah.
So
make
they
sure
can
Dende finds this.
Yeah, they're like, go use the, was it the Namek balls?
Yeah.
To wish him back. And they're like, do we have to?
Trunks, do I need to make you smoke this entire pack of beams?
My dad knows how to hide the bruises.
I don't know. What else happens? Yeah, Frieza goes full to his final form right away.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, no. First, Vegeta eviscerates Purple One Punch Man.
Oh, yeah. He fucking kills
which
One
Punch Captain
Man.
Which is Captain Ginyu. Which I was glad about because I was like, look out for your little bodies. He's going to switch them. That's his whole thing. That would fuck you guys. And instead, Goku is against the killing. He's like, why don't you let him have a nice debate with us? Fucking idiot.
And Vegeta's like, no.
So then Frieza powers up to full strength.
And he murders his whole army.
In the process, kills his whole army,
yeah.
During which we get Sorbet's fantastic line.
Frieza, boys, no!
No! Frieza!
My sweet boy!
The whole force!
What else happens? He kills all the Frieza boys. They have a little tete-a-tete, and then
he calls them monkeys again.
Calls them monkeys.
Yeah. Says something about slacks.
Frieza has so much like art to give this episode. Every time she does, it's like, you monkeys come in troops while I am hanging with Greg Proops. It's always like a rhyme and mean.
Basically, all that happens after he blows everyone up is like Goku's like, sorry, Vegeta, I want to punch Frieza in the face. And Vegeta's like, okay, Kakarot, but then I'm coming too. And then it's
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, he's like, Frieza says some shit about like, oh, power up to your stupid Super Saiyan. He's like, I don't even think I'll need to. And then it's over.
Why did they ever not power up to Super Saiyan? Is there something you lose by doing that?
No, because that was originally what it was, that you had to be like super raged. But then, like, there was a whole plot point about this when they come out of the
hyperbolic time chamber.
Yeah, Goku
they're
and
like,
Gohan
we can
are like,
this on and off now, and it's funny.
Yeah, we just live like this because it's easier to draw.
My fuck game is on the next level.
I've been doing those weird cock exercises.
Weird cock exercises.
Those man kegels. That's
what
that power up is.
It's when you tie a weight to the end of your dick and do kegels to lift it up and down. Yeah.
My PC muscle can shut a steel door.
All right, what do you guys say we rate this episode and get out of here?
All
right, Katie, out of 7 Dragon Balls.
I don't care. It's like a 4.5, 5. Yeah, it was fine.
Yeah. All right, 5.
We're about to get in another fight.
Yeah, we're about to see another fight. I feel pretty excited.
I do like classic Frieza, final form Frieza.
Yeah.
Best Frieza.
I just like Frieza being back in the picture.
Yeah. Alex, what do you got?
He's got a lot of spunk. He's a bad guy. Okay, so I like the characters. I like that there was some sassy Sorbet.
There were two beams.
What was the second beam? Frieza's finger beam. And then Vegeta kills One Punch Man, and he does the finger beam. I was only going to give him the beam for killing Captain Ginyu because that was the only good beam. Whoa,
you're changing your beam rules.
It was, okay, there were two beams. I'm going to give it 4 stars because it really felt like a setup episode.
But just
for the record so everyone knows, love Bulma's outfit.
Oh,
good outfit.
Good kerchief.
Gabe, out of 7 Dragon Balls.
I'm going to have to go full 7.
Whoa!
Oh!
Eternal Dragon!
Rise!
Big Gabe! What's going down, cool guy?
Oh, man. Well, I mean, considering I don't have much to go off, but I liked...
Let's cut to it, huh?
Hey!
You get a wish.
You get a wish.
Oh, wait, I wish.
Yeah, you got 7 Dragon Balls, you get a wish.
Oh, you're right.
We should have explained that before we...
Gabe, are you not a regular listener of Ball Out Super?
I am sorry. Just love each other out there. Just, that's a wish, right?
What a vague and easy one!
What? Wait, that was an easy one?
Oh, it's already done.
Wait, are you the dragon?
Fuck you.
All right, I'm giving this one probably 4 out of 7.
Yeah,
also.
Yeah, yeah.
It's fine.
Symmetry. It's fine. All right, dragon plugs. Katie, what do you got?
Oh, find me at Katie Rose on Twitter and at oh hello Katie Rose on Instagram. And apparently, I have shows all the time that I forget about. So please follow me to find out about them.
All right, Alex.
You crazy. find my Twitter at Patak Jokes, and then if I have a show, I'll post it on there. And that's it for me.
Sick. Gabe?
I'm on Twitter at Pretty Boy Salad. And
Gabe has a great Twitter.
Thank you. I if you're in the New York area on 7-Eleven at 9 p.m. at the Footlight, I got a show with a bunch of comics I like. So you should come out to that. That'd be cool.
Sick. And you can find me on Twitter at Jeremy Thunder. You can find us all on Twitter at Ballin' Out Super. And on Instagram and all the other stuff. Listen to the show every fucking week. We do it all the time.
Super!